Hey, everybody, welcome in. I am so glad that you are spending time with us because, as always, we have a great program coming your way. You already know it's Tuesday. You know it's Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and we have got it going on for you today with West Bonner County School District Board Member Susan Brown. She is one of the board members that's on this recall bullseye, and she is here to talk about what is really going on in the district and what her positions are. It's just so wonderful to be able to talk to someone who is willing to be transparent in their position. They're willing to answer the questions, and they're willing to be here up front and in person. So that's a good thing. So we are going to get to that right after our first commercial break. We're going to take that right now.
Acres of fun are waiting for you at the North Idaho State Fair, presented by Findlay Post Falls and ICCU. August 18th through the 27th, the North Idaho State Fair brings you 10 nights of action-packed arena shows, freestyle MX, monster trucks, demo derby, concerts, extreme bulls, and rodeo. Don't miss the best 10 days of summer at the North Idaho State Fair, August 18th through the 22nd. For more information, visit nisfair.fun. We'll see you there.
Summer is in full swing, and it's time to see what's new at Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get four lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, I mean loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get four lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com, 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
You've been putting back a few, and a few becomes a few too many. For a moment, you think of calling for a ride, but nah, you live nearby. What's the worst that could happen? You get pulled over, your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you total your car, you kill someone. The results of driving drunk are tragic. That's why law enforcement is out there looking for impaired drivers to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere. All at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Okay, we are back. Join me as I say hello and welcome to Susan Brown. Susan, I appreciate your being here today. Thanks.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's get started because I think some people probably don't know a little bit about your background and the skills and experience that you are bringing to the school district board.
Well, I mean, I'm a mom of three kids, first of all, and I have five grandchildren. So to me, children are very precious. When I first looked at running for the school board, this was interesting because I've owned three businesses in the past. I've worked in the school districts and not not the current school district, but in other school districts where we lived. And to me, children are a gift. And all I kept hearing was that things aren't right in West Bonner County. The test scores are terrible. We can't retain teachers. They're supposedly missing money. And I've known Heather Scott ever since she was running. And she said, I really think that, you know, we need some people with a different vision to jump into the school board. The next thing I knew, I was running. And then by a miracle, I was elected. So I kind of took off on the ground and was looking at things a little more closely once you're on the inside. And I didn't like what I saw. It didn't make sense. There are very, very low test scores. We were spending far too much for our students' curriculum overall when you compare it to other school districts. And so we just started, at least for myself, I started pulling things apart.
All right, so there we're seeing that there were some both academic and financial issues, and of course other issues that we'll get into. Let's begin with the issue of curriculum, because there was an old curriculum and one that was not working and was expensive. And I think there was one ordered that was way over budget or something. And then so that got sent back in a new one. Tell our audience what the thinking was on that and why the new curriculum is better.
Okay, so we currently haven't picked any new curriculum, but we have when the school district has a curriculum committee. It comprised in the past of several teachers and then administrators. As of July of last year, the state changed that. So now it should be a 50-50 mix of community members as well as the district employees, whether it be a principal or teachers. And when we looked at that curriculum for the June meeting of last year, the curriculum committee comes before the board, explains what actual curriculum units they've looked at, because there's usually four or five that they're looking at, and then they present the one to the board that they'd like them to vote on. I was not present at that meeting, and I was trying to call in, and for whatever reason, it wasn't connecting, so I couldn't have a vote on it. When I got back, I realized that it had been voted in by the board, and I said, this has got SEL all over it, and there's lots of markers here. So I went to Margaret Hall, who was our chair, and said, please let us put this back on the agenda. We need to talk about it, because the board needs to know the other stuff that I found out that wasn't presented to you.
Let our audience know SEL for those people that don't know.
That's social-emotional learning.
Yes.
And it is a gateway to CRT, which is actually banned in Idaho. So we went through the process of letting the chair know that I wanted that on the agenda and didn't hear anything back. So I asked again, didn't hear anything back. I asked Mr. Rutledge, who happened to be the vice chair, if he was concerned about this. He said yes, he wanted to put it on. He made a recommendation. Nothing happened. By the policies within the board, if two board members ask for something to be on the agenda, it's supposed to be put there. I ended up going to Miss Jackie Branham, who was our new superintendent, and asked her, what can I do? 2 weeks later, we had a special meeting. That's when the salesman for McGraw-Hill came, and he brought along via computer six other people that he worked closely with. And so this was at the junior high. People from the whole community came, and they were talking about there's no SEL in this program. It's wonderful. We should just keep going forward with it. However, there were a lot of people in the community that came forth with the actual proof that it was. Mm-hmm. We asked him several times. Finally, he came back and he said, yes, there's SEL in this, but we can carve it out and we can, you know, we'll work on the price because of that. So at that point, the board just said, no, we're going to not accept this. We want it rescinded. We want it sent back. If we had been able to get this on the agenda sooner, those books would have never arrived at the district. There would not have been any charges to the district at all. So when people say it cost $10,000 to get it and $10,000 to return it, it didn't. And we have the receipts for that.
I've seen one. I think it was $1,200 for the return, something like that.
It was $1,624 and some change.
Okay, $1,600. For our audience SEL, and I know this is not our topic today, but you can go ahead and research that SEL, capital letters, social environmental learning. And the issue is if you want a good standard academically sound curriculum that's like English and literature and history and arithmetic, SEL is over on the other side, teaching your kids other social stuff and other environmental stuff that you may be very concerned about if you really understand what they're teaching and saying to the kids, which has nothing to do with standard good curriculum education. It's just a rabbit trail that goes off in a lot of directions that if parents understood that, they would never want their kids exposed to that. Certainly not, well, at any age, elementary, middle school, or high school. It's just not healthy. And it's interesting to me that McGraw-Hill finally had to admit, yes, we've got SEL in there. It is as you said, a gateway to critical race theory. It's just a gateway to things that if you understand it, most parents, most people, grandparents, most people, you know, think, you know what, that's not really what I want being taught in these publics, in any school, public, private, or faith-based.
Yeah, that's why when Jackie Branham, our old superintendent, she wanted to bring classical education to the forefront for the curriculum committee to take a look at, which is Hillsdale's. And anyone who knows anything about Hillsdale
It's
such an accredited organization.
So highly effective and respected nationwide.
Yes. We had Stephen Lambert, who is actually the headmaster to the Treasure Valley Charter School, come and do a presentation. Mm. The junior high was filled with people, and it was very well received. It's something that once it's explained and you can see the value and you see how this takes students to another level and honestly gives them a good shot at the moon on having a well-balanced education, there were people coming up afterwards saying, please, we need a charter school. And it wasn't about the charter school. That wasn't why she brought it there. She just wanted to share with people that there was definitely better curriculum out there.
So the reason we're spending time on the curriculum, so what is the curriculum for this coming school year?
We have not picked that. We just picked the new curriculum committee. And so that is going to be meeting, I believe, later this week. And then they're going to be formulating some options to present to the board.
And it'll be online by September the 5th or whenever school begins?
Well, that, to be honest, I'm not sure it can happen that fast. I know that they're definitely trying to move very quickly.
Okay. All right. Now, the reason for our audience, Susan, to understand why the curriculum is so important, because it's the curriculum and the wonderful talent of our teachers and administrators, but it's that synergy that allows the students to have the academic achievement that we're looking for. This is the way we get the students to do well in school and to thrive and be nourished and be taught at their level and just all the good things that happen with a good curriculum. That's success for the students. So talk to us about how poor, I mean, just the numbers for West Bonner County School District. Talk to us about that and why this curriculum issue is so critical.
Well, because
achievement.
We have 60% of our juniors are at a fifth grade reading level, and that no one can say that's successful. I mean, we have some amazing teachers in our district.
Yes.
And
amazing students.
Oh, yes.
You know, and parents. It's just that the curriculum and the district administration. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's so important.
And it's like when we first started, we were looking at the GPA in the school district. It was 2.0 for graduating. And I thought, we're not pushing the students to try and achieve and excel. So we got it moved to 2.5, which I still don't think is high enough, but nonetheless. And even Mr. George at our last school board meeting had said, yes, because that got moved up and the students really like to have off-campus benefits, that they were striving to meet those goals. I think most children, they like to have structure. And when you give them a goal, they're going to achieve it.
They
have the capabilities to do it.
Yes.
And we've just seen too much with Common Core and things of that nature where it was dumbing down the children. Yeah. That doesn't do anybody any benefit.
And that discourages them because they know they're not performing. They know they're not understanding this garbage. So,
yeah, when you can teach a child to learn, you give them so much more. You're empowering them because now they can go on. It's not just opening up a book and reading a story about someone in India or the astronauts that landed on Mars. This, you've given them a whole nother world. And they can take that with them wherever they go. But if you have a child that's struggling and can't read, how are they going to fill out a job application? How are they going to know to be able to sit down and have a conversation with their new boss about something that's very important to them, but they don't have the words to use?
And they need to practice those words. It's not like something that's immediately there. It's like anything. Practice makes, I don't even want to use the word perfect, practice makes progress. And this is their opportunity to strengthen those muscles and learn how to do it and how to speak and how to do math and be the citizens and the winners that we want them to be, whether they follow the military or trades or college or their own entrepreneurship. They will be successful with good teachers and the right curriculum.
Oh, yeah. And Mr. Durst has been working just, honest to goodness, hours and hours and hours, along with the district office staff, yes, to be able to bring in new talent for the district. And we've had people from all across the country that have been contacting and said, well, you're not a woke district. Mm-hmm. I'd like to apply.
They like that.
And they thought, wow, they've been watching Mr. Durst and what he's been doing. And this is a place I think I could grow. And so having these teachers come in, now they have masters in these fields. So they're going to be able to actually offer dual credit for our students, which hasn't happened before. So for kids that are in honors and want to excel, they've got more opportunities. And you just have a baseline where you've got teachers in there that are gung-ho and they want to do some amazing things for the kids.
And hats off to the teachers that are already on staff, because this is exciting for them. This is not that these other teachers are replacing or they're the best. It's everyone working together. Like I said, it's the synergy of working together.
Because we have so many teachers that I've heard from parents and grandparents who are like, oh my goodness, this lady really helped my grandchild.
Right.
And those teachers are still with us. I think in every school, you're going to have people that come and they use it as a stepping stone. So they're there for a couple of years and they move on. And then you're going to have other teachers that they move on because there's a family issue and they need to go take care of them. I think that's indicative of every industry. You're going to have people come and go. And then you also have those that have longevity. Mm-hmm. And we do. We have several people in our district that have been there for 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's quite an honor to have folks that have been around. They've seen how the district has changed and how it's grown. And I do need to clarify something. I had made a comment that we had 3,000 students at one time, and now we're down to around, I think it's 1,149, something like that, or excuse me, 1,049. And when I said that, I misspoke. I was thinking of the $3,000 more that we spend per student in our district.
Okay.
So we've never had more than, I believe, 1,450 in student count.
And that stayed fairly stable. There's always a little up and down, but that's been fairly stable.
We did lose a lot of students after 2020, and that was for a multitude of reasons. Parents did see what was going on in the classroom. Other people moved away because a lot of businesses closed. People lost jobs. So there was a lot of reasons for that. It wasn't just all about the school.
I'm going to take just a quick rabbit trail here. I was reading an article just the other day about how chronic absenteeism, I mean like 30, 40, 50% absenteeism is really across the country. Kids, they're just not being sent to school. COVID, the at-home, the motivation, there's just something, you know, parents say, well, I'm homeschooling, but they're not. It is something really dreadful going on, and they are chalking it up to schools being closed and COVID and all of that. Maybe we'll try to do a program on that, ladies and gentlemen, so we can dig into that more, and I just don't give it a surface. But to know that there are students, you know, 2020, boy, that's the marker right there.
Oh, yeah.
Where a lot started. Kids fell behind, and they just couldn't catch up, and it discouraged them and the parents. Anyway, that's a topic for the future. Thank you for that. All right, and I have one other thing real quick. Susan, you mentioned honors classes, and I read in some place the lie and the rumor that, oh, there weren't going to be honors classes, that those have all been discontinued. That's a lie, right? There will be honors classes.
And Mr. Durst is working really hard with Mr. George, who is the principal at Willamana High, and they are trying to incorporate a bunch of new things. We also wanted to put in opportunities for the kids to be able to go out in the community and earn credit if they could be apprentices.
Yes.
Because we have so many people in the area that are plumbers and lumber, the framers, contractors, all of these different things.
Good.
And it's
jobs.
A great trade.
Yeah.
And that's hard work, but if you can learn it from the professionals directly, what a bonus.
And what an opportunity to learn if you like it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. That's a really good idea. All right, we're up against a break. We are going to take that break right now.
On Thursday, September 14th, mixed martial arts action returns when Coeur d'Alene Casino presents King of the Cage. Don't miss the high adrenaline, high octane action live cageside when heart, strength, and honor will be thrown on the line with the return of Tyler Sijon, Cameron Robinette, Jordan Curry, Israel Gonzalez, Theo Dukas, Sebastian Franklin, and much more. For tickets, visit ticketswest.com or call 800-523-2464.
Let's face it, scrap happens. When it does, recycle it with Pacific Steel and Recycling in Ponderé. Steve here to let you know whether you have scrap metals to recycle or need new steel for a project, we are here to serve you. And because we appreciate your business, we are here to serve you free coffee and donuts every Friday morning. So if you have scrap, need new steel, or just want coffee and a donut, come see us at Pacific Steel and Recycling, located at 1000 Triangle Drive in Ponderé.
Looking for a great job? Super One Foods in Sandpoint is hiring with a variety of positions available, with some of them starting at $20 an hour. Apply today at superonefoods.net or simply stop by the store and ask for Steve or Ryan. And at Super One Foods, they say save time, shop online. Just log on and select your items, then pick up at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. Go to superonefoods.net for Super One Foods in Sandpoint.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free, quick quote. Call 800-736-6158 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-736-6158. That's 800-736-6158. What do you have to lose? Call 800-736-6158. Again, 800-736-6158.
Attention, attention. I'm calling on the trendsetters and the underdogs, the disruptors and the slept on, the ones who have been told they're too much. Welcome to NFL Flag. In this game, there's a position for everyone. No matter who you are, just bring it. Get ready to run, throw, jump, and fly. This game is our game. Let's play. Visit NFLflag.com to find a league and get playing today.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. I hope you're enjoying the program because I sure am getting these answers and having this opportunity to talk with Susan Brown. She is a board member on the West Bonner County School District, and she just has so much information to share. And the so, Susan, again, thank you for being with us. I just really, really appreciate it. I know how busy you are. How many meetings have you already had this morning?
Three.
You've had three.
This makes four.
Well, we appreciate your time coming in. So let's go into a big topic, and that has to do with the physical maintenance of our buildings at the school district and some that need to be really, they need to be retrofitted and brought up to code. Tell our audience what's happening and what are some of the options.
Well, we have a lot of space at the LaManna High School property. So there could truly be a dual campus put there. And by that, I mean a whole new junior high built. This idea was actually brought up in 2021 by Mr. Paul Ansamo, who was our previous superintendent. And he indicated that the junior high was truly in disarray and it needed to either be sold off or completely redone. The problem is the price on that back then was $18.7 million. And West Bonner County, you can't rent a levy for that. That's astronomical numbers.
And now it would be even more.
Probably close to double.
Yeah.
So they were looking at building a whole new school on the high school grounds. That was the first time this was brought up. I only found that out a week ago. So the current board has sat through two very contentious board meetings with the community in outrage, thinking that this was our idea to just sell off the junior high and get rid of it. That was not the case. What we wanted to look at was a building that would be safe for staff and students. This building is very old, and it has a lot of memories for a lot of people, but the electrical is shot. The plumbing is shot. The boiler everybody knows about is, I think it was built the year of the Titanic sailed. And so it's not ADA compliant.
Yeah.
If you have a child that is in need of a wheelchair or something like that, where they cannot use the stairs on a constant level, the way the design is, the pitch of the floor, how it would have to be for a slant, there's not enough room to actually even put a ramp in for a child needing a wheelchair. So now you're looking at this school doesn't have the compliance it needs. I don't understand how people can not want a safe place for their children. I do understand that it is a a building that's been there for the beginning of Priest River, pretty much. It has a lot of memories for them. What the school board was trying to convey is that Mr. Durst and Mr. George have spent quite a bit of time on looking at a program that could move the junior high students over to the high school for a short period of time so that this old building could be retroed to some degree. And it didn't fare well with the folks in the town. So they decided then, okay, we'll, you know, you don't want that solution. And then Margaret Hall, one of the trustees, had made a comment to Mr. Eldor, who used to be the facilities manager. He's not with the district anymore. I believe he's gone and started his own construction company. And so anyway, she'd made a call to him and he said, oh, no, it's good. You know, it'll last a year. To me, that's a little scary. I wouldn't want that responsibility because, you know, he's not there now. So that's hard to say, you know, for certain that it is going to last a year.
Not that this gentleman is not a professional. I'm just going to respond in my opinion. I want somebody from the outside inspecting and certifying that this building is safe for parents, teachers, and the children.
Absolutely.
Whether it's the water, the lead, the electricity, the asbestos. Superintendent Durst was talking about the windows and the boiler. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the emotion. I do understand it.
I do too.
I said I grew up in a little high school in Illinois, and everybody loved it. We had our own football team. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there came a time when we couldn't afford to keep it, and consolidation was the way to go. And now they love it because the schools are beautiful, and the bus rides aren't that far. We actually consolidated. But anyway, that's not the issue at Priest River.
No.
Yeah, no.
And so, I mean, they want to move forward with just having the kids in the school for this year and then trying to figure out a solution later. I sincerely hope that that is something that we can do. But if that boiler breaks in the middle of the winter, we're going to have to move the students anyway. So I believe that when Mr. Durst and Mr. George were trying to be proactive,
yeah,
they really did have everyone's best interests at heart. It was going to be just during the renovation period. Right. Hopefully that was be something they could do in 6-7 months. But then again, the school year's only nine. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So essentially the school year. Well, I think that, you know, it's important. What I'm hearing from you, and I heard from board member or Superintendent Brandon Durst and Keith Rutledge, who have been on the air with me, willing to answer questions, is the best, whatever's best for the community is what is desired. If the school, if junior high gets a clearance from an inspector that, yeah, you can, unless the boiler blows up, you could probably get through this school year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that we,
and then
we have to at least have an inspection.
There's got to be something after that.
Yeah.
That is planned. You can't, like, the next, you just can't keep kicking the ball down the road. But I don't get to vote and I don't live in the district, but boy, do I love kids. And I just have a great respect for education. Teaching has been all of my life up until this gig, which in a way is kind of like teaching. All right. So what do you think is going to happen here? You think you're going to get an inspection and then see if you can make it through this school year while better, deeper plans are made, while the community gets used to what the reality is?
Yeah. I mean, I would think that we have to have it certified because, again, I don't want to have staff or students. I don't want anyone's life put at jeopardy.
Yes.
And you just don't know. It, by Mr. Eldor's words himself, it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. And this is a gentleman that has worked in the school districts for a long time. So I think he's probably got a pretty good idea on that.
Yeah, you got to be right.
Yeah.
So yeah, pay me now or pay me later, but maybe could make it through this school year while people get used to all the personalities and get used to the reality of what's really going on in the building.
Yeah, because I mean, there just is. There's a lot.
In-depth inspection report, I think, would bring the reality forward, not just what I think or what I mean, what the community thinks, but what's the real deal.
Yeah. Well, you owe that to everybody.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to be able to give them some a semblance of a surety there that you're letting your students, go in the building and that it's okay.
And you know what, Susan, you mentioned it before and you spoke so well about it. And I want to go back to it. The whole ADA thing, let's say the building was in good condition, which it is not at all. But if it were ADA compliant, this is not just the kids don't have access if they have any kind of physical challenge. The parents don't have access. Grandma and grandpa don't have access. Teachers, you never know. I mean, ADA in both the bathrooms and the entrances and all of that is absolutely required by law.
Yeah, which was surprising to me that it hadn't happened sooner.
To a boil sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to just underline that. You spoke to that so well, and it's so important to get whatever facility ASAP, ADA compliant. All right, everybody, we're going to take our last break. It's going to happen right now. When we come back, we're going to ask board member Susan Brown what her priorities are for the district. There may be a repeat or two on the things we've talked about, but I want to know, and I hope and I know that you want to know, what are her priorities right now for the school district?
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with. You can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
Everybody, welcome in. We have got a wonderful conversation going on with Susan Brown, West Bonner County School District Board Trustee. And if you've missed any part of this or you got on board with us late, you know you can always find a recording at our Blue Sky Broadcasting website at NorthIdahoRadio.com. It may take a day or two for this to get posted up, but nevertheless, certainly by Thursday, it should be up and running for you to listen again and listen to maybe the parts that you have missed. So we thank you for joining with us today at 97.1 FM or 1450 AM, or if you're just like live right now on your computer or phone, we love it. We love you guys coming along with us on this ride. So, Susan, thank you again for being here. As promised, let's talk about what some of the priorities are for you, that you as a trustee, you really want to see the parents and the teachers and the students address together with you and Superintendent Durst. What's at the top of the several things at the top of your list?
A balanced budget that anyone can walk into the district office, sit down and take a look at and understand. Part of our responsibility is a fiduciary piece to this, where we have to be accountable to the taxpayers. This is how money is being allocated and for what purpose. We haven't had a budget that even one of the past commissioners sat in a meeting and said he'd gone in with the old business manager and explained to her, he's looked at budgets, especially for the county, for years. He said, I can't understand this. This makes no sense. So when you have somebody who's very seasoned and he sees that it's not doing it, I've shared it with several different accountants that have nothing to do with the school district at all. And they've all said the same thing. This it's not right.
That is just not that is not acceptable at any level. It is the responsibility of your financial staff to deliver a report that every parent, every taxpayer, every board member, every teacher can understand. So I like that's at the top of your list, because that's where trust gets developed.
Well, that's what I ran on initially, was that we need to be able to be accountable. I believe that you shouldn't have taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. So when people kept looking at the levy, and I said, until I understand this budget process thoroughly, where I can look you in the eye and say, I know that all the money that you've put in the past for levy dollars has been spent and allocated appropriately for the educational value of all the students in our district. And I still can't say that.
All right. Well, that's why it's at the top of your list. What else do you have?
I want bullying gone from our school district. It's terrible. You hear from parents. You see it. And this is bullying from student to student. It's bullying from student to teacher, from teacher to teacher. And now you see it with the recall, parent to parent.
The previous supervisor was apparently bullied by some
She was literally ran out of her job between the emails that she received and the phone calls. And then people would come into the office and stand in her office there and tell her, you know, you're going to leave. Mm-hmm. We don't want you here. So, yeah, bullying is definitely a big problem in West Bonner County School District. And it does no one any benefit at all.
How do we eliminate bullying? What is the plan as you see it, or at least the first steps?
Well, I think you have to be very honest and say it does exist. A lot of people don't want to do that. You've got to address the fact that it really is there. When you have students being beyond rude to each other, and some of the things I've been told by parents, they're pretty vile. if that is in fact happening, you know, you could take it to a different level. Is this something where the authorities need to be involved? What do those texts say, or what do those messages say? What's really happening there? Teacher to student, student to teacher. Either way, it's inappropriate. It's not healthy. And no one derives any benefit from this at all. Right. It shouldn't be in the school district.
Maybe begin with the teachers, not that they are probably but they can get some anti-bullying training so they are better able to stand up. And if maybe they've been not in the right frame themselves, they can correct themselves, but at least they can stand up, and then maybe train the students have anti-bullying after the teachers, anti-bullying classes or seminars or something.
There's a multitude
of
things.
There's a lot available.
There really is. And it's something that I would like to see get addressed.
Mm. And what else you had? We talked on the break about educational values. What does that mean?
I'd really like for us to be able to see good curriculum come into the school district. The Hillsdale programs, I mean, they're stellar, but it might not be everybody's cup of tea. And because we have a curriculum committee now, they're going to be the ones that formulate what they want to present to the board. I'd like to see things such as innovation classes, where if you have, say, 18 students and their parents have all said, we would really like to have the 1776 program through Hillsdale. It's a free program, but then they can turn to the district and say, we would like to have that. So one classroom would be set up for that particular subject. There's lots of different things that can be done. Mr. Durst has a whole host of ideas, and he's just shared a few with me, but I think curriculum is very important in the school. It really is. It's going to be the bread and butter of how you move forward. And then having structured teaching methods, we're bringing in quantum learning, which is going to give you how you teach, not what you teach. And so there will be this systematic approach throughout the whole district, whether it's kindergarten to 12th grade. Everyone will be teaching in the same manner. So it gives the children some continuity as they're moving from class to class.
You know, not only the kids or the students continuity and boundaries, the teachers need it too. As employees, we need to have things kind of laid out like a roadmap that we can follow and know that we are doing right. And you know who else loves that? The parents love it because it's like understanding the budget. Once you understand the curriculum or quantum learning, quantum teaching, then you come on board with it. That's so exciting to me. All right, we've got about a minute for the last one. You had mentioned certified staff, their pay increases. Tell us about that good news.
Yeah, because we have had bus drivers that, God bless them, because they've been out there on the roads in this machine, and you have a lot of students doing Lord knows what behind you, and you're trying to maneuver. In my opinion, that is a rolling classroom. Yep. And so we needed to bring their pay up. We owe them that. That is a very serious job.
Yes.
And I thank them
especially
all.
In our weather and winters and that, very, very important.
Absolutely. So I'm just really glad that that got pushed through. And the board as a whole, everyone said, this has to happen.
Yeah.
So.
And our teachers got a pay increase also.
Last year they did.
Okay.
There was a significant one. I believe they're still in negotiations right now. I'm not on the negotiation board, so I'm not quite sure how that's, faring out.
Yeah.
But I believe this week they'll probably have some answers.
You know what? That's all good news. I'm so excited to hear the report, Susan, that you've brought forward to us. Thank you again so much for being with us today. Hey, everybody, thanks for being with us, coming along for the ride with me and today, Susan Brown, board member in West Bonner County School District. Next week, I want to let you know, my guest would be Rebecca Holland. She is pretty well known by everybody in our community, and she's on fire for what the city plans are for Traverse Acres Park. We have a beloved park here. I think it's 6 or 8 acres, and I don't know. The city's got some plans that a lot of people are not in agreement with. So we're going to talk about that. I know it's visual, but we will do our best to deal with it on the radio for you guys. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourself and each other, and may God richly bless you, my friends.